Just quickly, brethren, is that the first lesson we have said, I have to change masters. I'm baptized, the Lord is my Lord. But the second lesson, I certainly believe that the apostle is encouraging us to, is that our old man is crucified. And we have to understand this fact a little bit for us, for all of us. You see, sin is a terrible master. And it's a very strong master. So what the Apostle Paul now is telling the believers, you should know this as well, that this terrible, horrible master that is so strong in the mind of man is in a place where it cannot move as far as God is concerned. Why? Because it is crucified so that the body of sin is annulled. The power of sin, as far as God is concerned, has been annulled completely. So what he is encouraging the believers, that the second thing that I have to learn, that it is not only Lord, Christ Jesus is my Lord, but also in the work of the crucifixion that my Lord has accomplished, sin has no dominion over me. It has no power over me. Why? If somebody is crucified, can they move? When they crucified the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man, his hands were wide open, his feet is there. When someone is crucified, they cannot move. So what he is reminding the believers is that you have to be acquainted with the thought that this horrible master, which is called sin, or the body of sin, has been annulled, and it is where? On that cross. It cannot move. This is a wonderful lesson if the believer will take hold of this truth. That I don't have to be afraid from this master to allow him to do whatever he wants in my life. He is on that cross as far as God is concerned, and it cannot move. What is the third lesson that we need to acquaint ourselves? Knowing this, verse 9, that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. What I would like to suggest is sometimes we have this in us. We might fail, we might sin. But brethren, he dieth no more. His death, he died once. And it was sufficient in the sight of God eternally. So the work has been done. The sin is there. The old man is crucified. I have to live in the good of it. But for you and for me to take hold of this wonderful truth of his lordship, it has to be on the ground of what? Of resurrection. It cannot be on the old ground. It has to be on the ground that Christ has been raised. I am identified with him. I am raised with him. And it says what? Death has no more dominion. Listen, brethren. On resurrection ground, death has no dominion, sin has no dominion, nobody has dominion. Nobody has dominion but one, and that is Christ Jesus himself as Lord. And if the believers will take hold of this truth in a moral way right now, but we will experience it literally in a coming day, but morally right now, if I can take hold of his lordship, take hold that this master of sin or this old man is there on that cross, he cannot move, take hold of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that I am raised with him, and that if I'm in the good of resurrection, I'll be at rest, that nothing can touch me there, nothing can have power over me there, except Christ Jesus. Then the fourth lesson that I have to learn, so knowing all these things, who are you going to give the right to rule over you, or to be the master of your life? And this is where the practical side is. Yielding is giving someone the right. And brethren, the question that we need to answer, are we going to give Christ the right to take care of these members of ours, or are we going to give sin the right to continue having dominion over
it? He used the word annul, and that's a wonderful word, and in connection with identification, as Emil brought out. But the word annulled, the Lord annulled him who had the power of death. That's the cross. Now the question for us, have we annulled him? The word annulled simply means to disarm. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. He has disarmed him who had the power of death. He had disarmed him at the cross. Now, practically, if you want to use that term,
correct.
Have I disarmed him in knowing these things? Have I reckoned myself that, as you pointed out, a crucified man cannot move? There is when I come into the good of that, then I too annul or disarm him who has the power over me, and that going into a different lordship. Now, my next comment I want to address.
One second.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe some of the young people don't know this old word, annul. Rendered powerless. Rendered powerless. Just a thought.
You can see that, young people, and when you study the Old Testament of battles, how often the enemy was rendered powerless, disarmed. And that's what he wants us to come in the good of. But now there may be some in the room here, and I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but might be saved, but yet have not entered into baptism. This comment is for you. You know who you are. I'm going to borrow, if the Lord permits, a verse from Revelation that I know your work, that you're neither cold nor hot, but you are lukewarm. Just to Revelation 3, you take a chance to read this. I use this verse in connection with a young sister who persistently, for over years, did not enter baptism. And in connection to what our dear brethren here brought, Emil and our brother John, that of transferring lordship. If I am not identified through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, I may be identified by the internal spirit. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm identified with him and his people by true birth. But if I continuously refuse baptism, who am I identified with? With the company who still rejects that name and who are still under the lordship of him who lords over the children of disobedience. I may not be a child of disobedience, or I may not be unsaved, but as long as I continuously resist the Lord's name in baptism and his lordship, I'm in two places, practically. You see? So now the Lord wants to stir you today to no longer be lukewarm in two places and get into the good and the knowledge of this chapter to make a decision today. I will no longer be under Pharaoh's bondage. I will no longer be under the lordship of the one who is over the children of disobedience. I will go home to my brothers and sisters and say, I want to be identified with Christ and with his company through baptism. May that encourage you to do so today.
Years ago, and it's probably still true today, in Jewish circles, and of course today in Muslim circles, that there was a little bit more tolerance today in those days than the heated matter that we've had since 9/11 and so on. It's okay to claim to be a Christian as long as you don't get baptized. The moment you become baptized in certain countries, and I'm not international, but I've heard this, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, mom and dad, I got saved today. I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. You got saved. But the moment you publicly entered into the waters of baptism, you've signed your death warrant. And they'll either kill you in some circles, or in some circles they'll completely cut you off. And they'll have a funeral for you. But you've already had a funeral for yourself. Because you've declared that you died with Christ. And it is a matter of, is a sense in which it's submission. Because, not embarrassment so much, but the willingness to yield to someone to baptize you. It's an important step. There's a hymn, I don't know if it's in our hymn book. We were singing it the other day at a funeral. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. And that's true in, I think, Colossians, where he says, he's taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. You can always look back and point to it. It's there.